Thank you, Haas, so much for reading that. My dad last night pointed out, in fact, that what you stumbled over at the beginning was the crowd, the large crowd, right? That there were a lot of people, and this was like a high point. And then Jesus has to go and say this. Some of the hardest things that Jesus says, that if you do not hate your brother and your sister and your mother and your father, then you cannot follow Jesus. It's tough to hear. Well, I wanted to tell you that when I was in high school, my best friend, still friends with her today, I just don't see her quite as often as I'd like. She lives all the way up in Boston. But back in high school, she had a saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it this morning because we're in church. She'd say, "Life's tough, then you die." Now, mind you, both of us lived relatively privileged lives. We went to Delaney High School, after all, not exactly a center of horrible poverty and trauma. But we were high schoolers, so everything had to be dramatic. And so life, of course, was tough. But it does beg the question, what is the point of life? What are we to fill our living with? You all know that there's only two certainties in this life, right? Death and taxes, right, exactly, yes. So if one of the only certainties in life is death, and that comes at the end, and the only other one is taxes, then what is the point of this life? What are we to do with this life that God has given us? Moses speaks to God's chosen people and tells them when they are on the cusp of entering the promised land, he tells them, choose life. But to quote Martin Luther, what does this mean? We hear some of what Moses means when he says, choose life. Life is obeying the commandments of God by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways. And death is bowing down to other gods. For Jesus, life, disciple life, as he lays out in this morning's gospel, is taking up your cross and following in the way of Jesus, no matter the cost, though it may be quite high. Follow in the way of Jesus, healing and feeding and loving and teaching and gathering and welcoming. Death is holding on to possessions and a half-hearted attempt at following Jesus when it is convenient. For Paul, life, Christian life, is welcoming your once slave, your once possession, now as a brother, while death is being enslaved by injustice, by the power and wealth games of this world. In other words, give up your reliance on that which does not last, that which does not give you life, on false idols of selfishness and wealth. Choose the life that really is life, humility and service and community. Well, let's just state the obvious here. This is not easy, but it is life-giving. Take, for example, Philemon. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the story of Philemon, but we just read most of the letter written to Philemon. We read almost one whole book of the Bible when Haas read it aloud to us. It is the shortest letter that Paul wrote. He wrote it from prison, and he wrote it to a dear friend and the person that was the host of one of the churches, the church of the Colossians, was hosted by this man, Philemon. And so what came about is that while Paul was away on his travels, he took with him the slave of Philemon, Onesimus. And of course, while he was serving, he became curious about this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he himself became a Christian. And so Paul encourages his friend Philemon to consider what it would be like now to welcome Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother. Which is all well and good. I think at this point in our world, we all acknowledge that slavery is bad, right? And it's all well and good to tell Philemon that he should treat his former slave as a brother, but that is harder than it sounds, because Onesimus and his labor was likely not an insignificant part of his wealth, of his livelihood. To set him free would in fact be in a way to rob the next generation, his own children, of their inheritance. But Paul invites Philemon into not a richer life, but a more complete life, with Onesimus now welcomed as a sibling in Christ. Life, true life, is choosing what is hard but loving over what is easy but selfish. Death is holding on to wealth, status, and selfishness and letting those ideals define you. Alexei Navalny, those of you who have been attending for a while know that I have a little bit of an obsession with him, and we've been reading his memoir called Patriot, and we just finished it recently. In his memoir, about a year into his imprisonment after returning to Russia, an imprisonment that would end with his death, he said, "I don't for a second regret it. The only thing we should fear is that we will surrender our homeland to be plundered by a gang of liars, thieves, and hypocrites. That we will surrender without a fight, voluntarily, our own future and the future of our children." A few months later, he writes again, this time on his son's birthday, and he says, "The ghastliest days in prison are the birthdays of close family, especially children. But it is on my children's birthdays that I am particularly aware why I'm in jail. We need to build the beautiful Russia of the future for them to live in." Did he hate his son, as Jesus says must be done to follow him? No, he didn't hate him. But he loved his son and his country so much that he was willing to deny himself the chance to be with his son on his birthday. Choosing life is not choosing the way of least resistance, because the way of least resistance to God's chosen people would have been to stay back in Egypt as slaves and not even begin the arduous journey to freedom in the promised land. The way of least resistance would have been for Dietrich Bonhoeffer to go along with the Nazi regime rather than resisting any way possible. The way of least resistance might be letting the social safety net collapse around us because we do not see how it matters to us. The way of least resistance might be keeping your head down and your mouth shut while millions starve in Gaza. The way of the cross, on the other hand, is costly. And sometimes as devastating as sitting in prison on your child's birthday. The way of the cross might be as simple as walking a damp Marluth to pick up trash, because it's something that you can do in a world that seems to be falling apart around us. We are heirs of God's promise. Eternal life has been promised to us. It's free, taken care of, a done deal by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so the only question left to us is, what now? What do we do with the life that God has given us? What is this life for, if not for serving our neighbor, that we might be a part of reshaping the world around us to look more like the glimpses of the kingdom of heaven? Yes, life is tough. Then you die. So make the most of it. Take nothing for granted. Throw all your love into your family and your community and this world. Serve with passion and energy, not because you can fix it all, God knows we can't, but because you are a Jesus follower. And you can't help yourself. You can't help it but love and serve and seek justice and love mercy and tread lightly on this God-beloved earth. Choose life. Every day, we have a choice to serve our own immediate interests or to serve the interests of others. Every day, we have a choice to do the work of setting others free from hunger and despair and loneliness and violence. Every day, we have a choice to pick up our cross and to follow the terrible, beautiful, purposeful way of Jesus. Or not. Choose life. Let God's promised eternal life start for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.